This is Torah 101. The parasha called Bishalach, meaning after he had let go, Pharaoh did. Exodus chapter 14, verse 26. Adonai said to Moshe, "Reach out your hand over the sea, and the water will return and cover the Egyptians with their chariots and cavalry." Moshe reached his hand out over the sea, and by dawn the sea had returned to its former depth. The Egyptians tried to flee, but Adonai swept them into the sea. Rashi explains that the Lord stirred them into the sea, not just swept them, as a person stirs a pot of food and turns what is on the top to the bottom and what is on the bottom to the top. So were they, the Egyptians, bobbing up and down and being smashed in the sea. The water came back, verse 28, and covered all the chariots and cavalry of Pharaoh's army who had followed them into the sea. Not even one of them was left. This is something that comes out in the video called The Exodus Revealed. The actual remains of the chariot wheels still exist on the bottom of the Red Sea, with coral formed over them, hardening them over time. Great video for you to check out. You can find it on YouTube. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground in the sea, with the water walled up for them on their right and on their left. On that day, Adonai saved Israel from the Egyptians. Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the shore. Looking back, they did. Towards the shore, they could see the Egyptian army piling up on the shore. When Israel saw the mighty deed that Adonai had performed against the Egyptians, the people feared Adonai. In other words, they developed a deep-seated reverence and awe of God. And they believed in Adonai and in his servant Moshe. So the deepening of the faith of the people as they see God perform amazing feats and miracles. So much was the work of miracles with Yeshua on the earth, that they believed and flocked after him. We must see God working in supernatural ways because it confirms that he is beyond our time and space and our reality. How people long for the supernatural work of God in this life. Seek him out. Fear him, revere him, keep him in awe, and expect great and mighty things from him. Chapter 15, verse 1, "Then Moshe and the people of Israel sang this song to Adonai." So now Moshe writes a song about this. would love to have the melody and the sound of it, but we do have the lyrics. Rashi commented on this and said, "Then when Moses saw the miracle, it occurred to him to recite a song. His heart dictated to him that he should sing, and so he did." Can you imagine the elation in Moses' song? As not only the victory was seen by all the people, but he himself now was believed in as the deliverer. At long last, he was accomplishing what God had destined him to do. So the lyrics go like this: "I will sing to Adonai, for he is highly exalted." He's praising God. "The horse and its rider he threw into the sea. Yah is my strength and my song," a shortened version of the holy name of God here. "And he has become my salvation. This is my God, I will glorify him. My Father's God, I will exalt him." Here Moses recognizing the transference of faith moving forward from his ancestors, his forefathers, his own father. Adonai is a warrior. Adonai is his name. Something important to remember. Yes, the Bible teaches that God is love, but he's also a God of just love, protecting what he loves. He is also a warrior, as it says here, a warrior. Adonai is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he hurled into the sea. His elite commanders were drowned in the Sea of Suf. The deep waters covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone, as were all the enemies of Israel over time. Wiped out. They no longer exist. The Egyptian dynasty no longer exists. And you can go on throughout history. And those that came against the firstborn of God were met with God the warrior, fighting for what he loves and what he wants to protect. Verse 6, "Your right hand, Adonai, is sublimely powerful. Your right hand, Adonai, shatters the foe. By your great majesty, you bring down your enemies. You send out your wrath to consume them like stubble." Again, this is a song. You can hear the heart of Moses crying out there in the wilderness, his voice echoing. And he's just full of emotion, full of praise to God, lifting up the power of God, explaining it in a musical form. "With a blast from your nostrils," verse 8, "the waters piled up, the waters stood up like a wall, the depths of the sea became firm ground. The enemy said, 'I will pursue and overtake, divide the spoil and gorge myself on them. I will draw my sword, my hand will destroy them.' You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, Adonai, among the mighty?" I think of the disciples, the students of Yeshua. When the storm came to a great calm on the Sea of Galilee, they said, "Who is this man that even the wind and waves obey him?" Hear Moses also, "Who is like you, Adonai, among the mighty? Who is like you, sublime in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders? You reached out with your right hand. The earth swallowed them." Rashi explained that this can be compared to glass vessels placed in a person's hand. If he inclines his hand a little, they fall and they break. Moses saying that God reached out with his right hand and the earth swallowed them, as powerful the hand of God is. In your love, verse 13, you led the people you redeemed. In your strength, you guided them to your holy abode. This idea of leading and guiding is an expression of carrying someone and bearing up someone. Not just come this way, go that way. More God himself would carry his people. The peoples have heard, verse 14, and they tremble. Anguish takes hold of those living in Philistia, where the Philistines are, that is. Then the chiefs of Edom are dismayed. Trepidation seizes the heads of Moab. All those living in Canaan are melted away. Terror and dread fall on them. By the might of your arm, they are still as stone until your people pass over, Adonai, till the people you purchased pass over. The idea is, if God could do this, then that is no problem. The Philistines, the Moabites, the Canaanites. Egypt was the greatest power on earth. The greatest power that had ever been known on the earth to this point. And if God could do that, he can do this. Defeat the other, more minor enemies. So it is in our walk of faith. When God brings a huge answer to prayer, when he brings a great breakthrough, then everything else seems to fade in its importance. God can do it. If he did that, he can do this. And God trains our faith, brings about big things, new things, breakthroughs, so that we won't fret about the next thing that comes. Verse 17, you will bring them in and plant them on the mountain which is your heritage, the place, Adonai, that you made your abode, the sanctuary, Adonai, which your hands established. Speaking of the people of Israel coming into the promised land, it's been said that Moshe was prophesying here that he would not come in, because it says you will bring them in. He doesn't say you will bring us in to the mountain. He's speaking of Mount Moriah, where the temple would be built, fashioned by God's own hands. Verse 18, Adonai will reign forever and ever. This is speaking of God reigning on into the future from Jerusalem, from the temple. It is believed, though Solomon built the temple there on Mount Moriah that was rebuilt by Herod, that the future temple in the reign of Yeshua the Messiah will be built by God himself, and he will reign forever and ever. Verse 19, for the horses of Pharaoh went with his chariots and with his cavalry into the sea, But Adonai brought the sea waters back upon them, while the people of Israel walked on dry land in the midst of the sea. Also Miriam the prophet, sister of Aaron, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines dancing, as Miriam sang to them. Now we have a quote from Miriam's song. Miriam was the sister of Aaron, and of course the sister of Moses, playing tambourines. She and the women sing to Adonai, she said, for he is highly exalted. Again, this idea of praise, lifting him up. The horse and its rider he threw into the sea. So similar lyrics, similar theme. Obviously, this is what they've just experienced. So it's part, a main focal point of their songs. Moshe led Israel onward from the Sea of Suf. Verse 22. They went out into the Shur desert. But after traveling 3 days in the desert, they had found no water. Only 3 days have gone by now. They arrived at Marah, but couldn't drink the water there because it was bitter. This is why they called it Marah, which means bitterness. The people grumbled against Moshe and asked, "What are we to drink?" So they're grumbling. They went from praise to grumble in 3 days. So it is with human beings. We just don't have a lot of patience. They just saw the most incredible miracle of their lives, the deliverance from Egypt, the destruction of the Egyptian army, and now they're worried about getting some water. Sounds familiar. I think we're all kind of like this. Don't forget the great things that God has done. It'll help you get through the smaller trials. Keep your eyes on him. Moshe cried to Adonai, verse 25. And Adonai showed him a certain piece of wood, which, when he threw it into the water, made the water taste good. There Adonai made laws and rules of life for them, and there he tested them. He said, "If you will listen intently to the voice of Adonai your God and do what he considers right, pay attention to his mitzvot or his commandments and observe his laws, I will not afflict you with any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, because I am Adonai your healer." So the blessing of life and thriving in life is connected to simply obeying the voice, doing what he considers to be right, paying attention to his commandments, and observing his laws. This is Torah 101 Daily.